Hello and welcome to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin. A very good evening to you listening to us wherever you are. And this evening, we are glad to inform you that we are hosting the African Development Bank Country Manager for South Sudan, Benedict Kanu, in our studio. And we are going to be looking at a lot of supports being given by the African Development Bank to our country. And our SMS number is, if you want to send us an SMS or if you want to communicate with us this evening, you can send us an SMS on 0929693205. The SMS number, once again, 0929693205, or you can visit our website or our social media page and drop your question there. We shall be putting all those questions to our guest right here. South Sudan became a member of the African Development Bank in May 2012, and in September 2013 ratified its membership. Following the country's independence in July 2011, the bank opened its country office in the capital, Juba, in September 2012. In June 2020, the board of directors of the African Development Bank approved $4.16 million grant to South Sudan to support the emergency response to COVID-19 and also strengthen the country's fragile health system. The money was meant for the project to enhance the capacity of South Sudan's health facilities and also to bolster the country's capacity to detect cases and curb the spread of COVID-19 in the country. So, joining us this evening to talk more about this is, the country manager for the African Development Bank, Benedict Kanu. Welcome to Radio Mirai, and thank you so much for honoring our invitation during your busy schedule.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. Like I just mentioned, first of all, let's go right away. What are some of the major areas of the African Development Bank focusing on in South Sudan? Which areas?
The African Development Bank has a portfolio, an active country portfolio of about $160 million at the moment. Mm-hmm. It covers sectors such as humanitarian, the power sector, education sector, water and sanitation, governance and accountability, financial inclusion, etc., etc. Of course, you mentioned health, which is the latest support we provided in June to this country.
Okay, let's begin with that one there. So, has the country manager for the African Development Bank, was the money given cash to curb the spread of COVID-19 in the country?
We disbursed within a period of 22 days after board approval, we disbursed the $4.2 million directly to the coffers of the World Health Organization, which was selected in consultation with the government of South Sudan as the implementing agency. As I sit here, at least 30% of that support has been disbursed along the lines of the mutually agreed deliverables vis-a-vis the COVID-19 national response plan.
Okay, as a country director, manager again, to what extent do you think this financial package to contain the spread of COVID-19 has had on the spread of the virus? Has it lived up to its expectation?
Well, let us begin first with the anticipated project life, the duration of the project. The COVID-19 response project, which is being implemented by WHO and executed by the Ministry of Health, has a life of 1 year. And we disbursed 22 days, like I said, after approval in June. So we still have a few months to go. Mm-hmm. But if the current status is an indication to go by, about 30% at least has been already disbursed. So giving it another 7 months or so, we should be at the end of the project. And we are positive that WHO, working closely with the government, the department responsible for health, which is the Ministry of Health, they are doing the right thing. And at the end of the day, we'll conduct our routine project monitoring missions. And then at the end of the project, we'll conduct a project completion report to confirm that what we agreed upon has been delivered fully.
So the money is being managed by WHO?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In consultation with the Ministry of Health. Yes.
But whatever the Ministry of Health needs, they have to go back to WHO so that they release that money.
Well, let us start with the design of the project. Mm. The project was designed closely by the Ministry of Health and WHO. So the discussions have already been done in the past. As we move ahead, since this is a dynamic operation, I mean, the COVID is a dynamic pandemic, we gradually repurpose the operation to reflect current realities, to avoid duplication of activities, and to make sure there is synergy built in project implementation.
Okay, you talked about, you mentioned for us a list of projects where you are handling the financial inclusion, good governance, health, education, water and sanitation, and all this. So tell us more about this in brief.
Well, let us start with the power project, which has generated
the one in Juba,
which has generated
a lot of
discussion,
and now we have a case in the court.
I know about that. I heard about that. As a matter of fact, the lawyer concerned, he wrote to me just to inform me.
Yeah,
you see, there's a lot of misunderstanding regarding this project. As you drive along Juba yourself, you'll notice hundreds of poles, kilometers of cables, electric cables. Hundreds and possibly dozens, if not hundreds, of transformers distributed all over Juba.
Yeah.
Now, we have paid for that.
So you paid the money?
We recruited, that I want to clarify, because I said this before on South Sudan Broadcasting Corporation. We recruited, with the government, we recruited competitively a Chinese company to serve as the works contractor. That Chinese company was responsible for installing all those cables you saw, all those poles you saw,
and
all the transformers. It is not Chinese support.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be absolutely clear here.
It was African Development Bank.
This project was financed to the tune of $38 million by the African Development Bank as its support to the energy sector through the government of South Sudan. And I want to make it abundantly clear that this was not provided by the government of China. As a matter of fact, your government recruited the Chinese company to deliver the works, and that's why you saw Chinese around the place.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So now we have cases. Now you said all the poles you are seeing around Jubatan, the transformers and all these
cables.
It was paid for by you.
$38 million.
Yes. Now the question actually people are asking right now is, why are people being asked to pay for poles, to pay for connection into maybe, for example, my house if I'm staying in Gudeli? Because now in Jubatan, around Haisora, Atlabara and all this, it's done. Now the case is now in the outskirts of Juba, around Moniki and the rest of Gudeli, Gure, and all this.
Exactly. You see, let us start with a two-pronged approach. For you to get electricity in your house, you need to generate it first, isn't it? You first generate the electricity.
Yeah.
And then you transmit it and then distribute it. The $38 million I referred to a minute ago has to do with not generation.
Yeah.
It has to do with transmission and then distribution to your house or to Ministries Road and so on and so forth. Obviously, South Sudan has a range of pressing demands. You know this better than
Yeah.
But the resources available to meet all those pressing demands are limited.
Yeah.
Therefore, we have not been able to cover the entire Juba, not to mention the whole of South Sudan.
Yeah.
Which will cost hundreds of millions of dollars. So what we were able to do, we did with $38 million. Now, the cost of production of electricity, we are not involved in it.
So what is going on right now? Why African Development Bank is not involved?
Because we have done what we're supposed to do.
And complete?
Well, complete to the extent that, given the resources available so far, because resources are not unlimited.
Yeah.
Given the resources available, we've been able to cover the areas we can cover for now. In the future, if we and the government agree again that, okay, take another $10 and expand more poles
to some parts of Juba,
subject to availability of resources to some other parts of Juba, it shall be done in the future. But at the moment, this is where we stand. This is where we are with the government, not only us.
Okay. So what is happening right now, you are not part of it?
Well, I don't want to talk about generation because we are not in generation. That is a private company which is doing generation. I don't want to speak for them.
Yeah. So let's move on to other sectors.
Yes.
Like education.
Mm-hmm.
So which areas, how much are you injecting in education?
Last year, 2019, I signed a grant agreement of $17.7 million to support basic education with the government of South Sudan. Now, this is ongoing. Obviously, because of COVID,
mm-hmm.
it has impacted the extent to which the project can be implemented. Nevertheless, this operation is ongoing, and it's for a period of 5 years,
okay.
and it's nationwide.
So is the money given cash to the government, or there is a third party managing the money?
Thank you very much. Again, like I mentioned, for WHO, in this current case, for the basic education operation, the Ministry of Education, General Education and Instruction is working with UNICEF. We disbursed tranches of this $17.7 million already since, I believe, last year or early this year to UNICEF, which is serving as the implementing agency,
mm.
in close consultation with the Ministry of Education and General Instruction.
Yeah. So let's move on to something which you already know and you know better than any other person, because that's your field of expertise. South Sudan right now is having a lot of difficult time, economic crisis all over. The inflation is very high. We have not got the latest figure from the National Bureau of Standard. What is the African Development Bank doing to support South Sudan to get out of this economic crisis we are in? Any idea?
Well, you see, the problems, the macroeconomic problems that South Sudan is facing now are the result of a number of
factors. Yeah.
As I mentioned in my earlier statements, everything in South Sudan today is urgent, is a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the resource envelope available to support all these 1,000 requests or 1,000 demands, all pressing, is only maybe 10% available. Therefore, we need to be selective in what we do. What has the African Development Bank done to assist in supporting South Sudan, even before COVID and in the current dispensation of COVID? We have tried, in the first place, to respond to some of the drivers of fragility.
Mm-hmm.
South Sudan is a country in transition. Others call it a fragile state. It's a country in transition. It's a very young country. You got independence only in 2011. Other countries got independence, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful that everything should work, tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
We have to be a bit patient.
There is high expectation.
Extremely high expectations, and that needs to be managed. That's mm-hmm. my first statement I'd like to make.
Yeah.
It's a new government. What I know about South Sudan is the country has come a long way with intermittent civil war for decades, intermittent instability for decades. You cannot come from intermittent instability for decades into a situation of perfection overnight in just 7-8 years.
Because this is not a creation in the Bible where they say just wake up in the morning, let this one happen.
It will not happen like that. But let us also be optimistic. Let us be fair that I find the people of South Sudan very resilient, very serious about their country, and their leaders as well. The leaders should now work together and push forward an agenda for long-term transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And we are here to help the government of South Sudan, to work with them closely, as I have been doing, as representing the bank here, to work with them closely to ensure that the aspirations of the government are met, not only because of African Development Bank support, but because of support by other partners, the Europeans, the Americans, and the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear people talking much about the private sector in South Sudan. And I can address that later on in another question.
Okay.
So we have been helping, more or less, to respond to the drivers of fragility. Some of them, like water and sanitation, is a driver of fragility. Environment is a driver of fragility. Forestry, agriculture, the production side. Making sure we bring power. That's another.
Yeah, but now let's go direct to the issue of the private sector. Given the insecurity around the country, no serious investor will be willing to come and put his money in this country with a lot of challenges. So he may be fearing that the money might disappear in the thin air. So what is being done by maybe African Development Bank together with other partners to encourage maybe some few investors to come and invest in this country? despite all the challenges the country is having?
Let me hasten to say the following, and this is what I said in one or two forums we had before the Government of South Sudan Development Pact Partner Forums we had at PAM Africa 2 months ago, and then I think earlier this year before COVID at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. You see, let us stop saying government should do everything.
Yeah.
I've had people complaining all over the place. The government has not done this. The government is not providing employment. The government is not doing this. I want to repeat this. The government, there are things the government does best. There are things the government does not do best. One thing that the government does best is what you just mentioned, ensuring there is robust peace and security so that you can attract private investment. Two, ensuring that there are strong public institutions to ensure that business continues, to ensure that the rule of law, there's rule of law which is upheld. These are the roles of government, building strong infrastructure, roads, making sure there are schools and people go to school, educate the public.
Power,
of course, we talked about power. Yeah. These are all the infrastructure, water and sanitation. These are the basic things that government does. And ensuring that there is an investment climate that is attractive to foreign investors.
Yeah.
Now, once the government does that, the government should not be seen as the employer of the majority.
Yeah.
No. In the COVID setup that we have now, the government should now be seen as facilitating injection of capital into private enterprise development. I said this before, and I'd like to repeat this again today. The government, I told the current Minister of Finance when I went to see him about a week or so ago, I said, Minister, what we need now is to help those people who have lost jobs because of COVID.
Yeah.
To get some kind of injection of capital for them to restart their businesses. And capital they have to pay back. They have to pay it back.
Yeah.
It should not be free because business is a profit-making entity. Okay?
So, now, one issue. This week, on Tuesday, during the signing ceremony of the contract between the new Commissioner General of the National Revenue Authority here in Juba at the Ministry of Finance premises that was attended by high-profile government officials, you were quoted as saying that you are trying actually to advise the new Commissioner General of the National Revenue Authority, which is a very important institution for the revival of this economy because that deals with the revenue collection, non-oil revenue collection, I should say. You told the new Commissioner General that he should really ensure that he recruits the competent people, and also the issue of transparency. Even if he collects £1, let me put it in our context here. Even if he collects £1, the people must know that I collected £1 today. And given to the previous Commissioner General who was removed sometime, he used to do that, but some people were seen as being resistant. Why? What prompted you to say that?
Well, you see, the government recently re-echoed its commitment to public finance management.
This is not the first time they are saying that. We have heard that several times.
Absolutely. But this is a new period. This is the transition period of the government, isn't it?
Yeah.
The transitional national government since February 2020.
Yeah.
So if they have said it before and they did not deliver, as you said, let us give them another chance. We would like to see a situation whereby the new Commissioner General, who signed his contract at the Ministry of Finance a few days ago, where I was present, and where I gave a press conference. We want to see a situation whereby this Commissioner General is given all the support he requires to make sure he functions in the interest of the government and the people of South Sudan. And this commitment was made clear by a number of cabinet ministers who attended this meeting. I think there were 4 cabinet ministers there who attended the signing ceremony. And they all said they should support. We should work as a team. I remember the Minister of Labor saying, you should work as a team with the colleagues in the National Revenue Authority. That's what the Minister of Labor said. The Minister of Finance also committed his support to him, because the Minister of Finance, as you know, supervises the National Revenue Authority.
Yeah.
So I think there is increasing know-how, increasing awareness of the need to give the National Revenue Authority the rightful support it deserves. I want to also add that after the signing ceremony in the evening, we had a cocktail in the honor of the new Commissioner General, where Vice President Professor James Wani Iga mm-hmm. spoke. I want to bring forward to you and to your listeners what he said.
Yeah.
Professor Wani Iga said, "It will not be business as usual. We have to support this man. We have to clean up the place. We have to ensure that there are no violations." And this is the kind of message that should continue and that should be adhered to.
Like I said, if you are given the chance to speak to more than 5,000 Sudanese right now, they will dispute that because they say they have heard that before. These are the same people who are being rotated here and there. Anyway, let's go to the issue of COVID-19. Given the disruption of business in South Sudan's key trading partners, including China, Uganda, Kenya, and the rest, what notable economic impact of COVID-19 has been felt in this country, and how has it impacted the economic growth of South Sudan, according to the African Development Bank?
Well, let us start with the issue of lockdowns.
Yeah.
There is a general disruption in your daily life, your daily life, my own daily life, every day, not to mention private entrepreneurs. South Sudan has, it's landlocked. It depends on trade between Uganda and South Sudan, trade between Kenya and South Sudan. And beyond these countries, it also depends primarily on trade between South Sudan and China.
Yeah.
For what? 90% of its revenues, which is based on oil. Now, given this COVID situation, what happens is economic activities have been disrupted. Production has been disrupted. Supply has been disrupted. Even demand has been disrupted. Jobs have been disrupted. Incomes have been disrupted. Therefore, livelihoods have been disrupted. In doing so, profitability of private enterprise has been undermined. Now, if you put all of this into context, given the fact that even the growth rates projected for China have been projected downwards.
Mm-hmm.
It means the demand for oil, whose price has been falling for some time now, is going to be lower. What does this mean for South Sudan? South Sudan projected its budget for 2020-2021 using, say, X dollars per barrel.
Yeah.
Now it's X minus 3. It means South Sudan is going to have less revenues from oil that is going to finance a budget for a certain amount.
Yeah.
And it has implications for what the government can do. It has implications for what the government can do. And the issue of also pricing of food commodities, supply of food commodities between Uganda and South Sudan, between Kenya and South Sudan, it has an impact
mm-hmm.
because prices are going to rise.
Yeah.
Coupled with the fact that the South Sudanese pound, as you know very well, the exchange rate...
Yeah, the value is gone.
Thank you very much. So these are some of the broader implications which, unfortunately, the government has to deal with
mm-hmm.
in making sure you strengthen the South Sudanese pound. You need to strengthen the South Sudanese pound with more foreign reserves to make sure it becomes a currency of choice.
So if I know you always interact with these senior government officials, including the presidency, the Minister of Finance, the Governor of Central Bank. So in this scenario right now where people like... I can tell you, people have stayed in this country for months without being paid. The African Development Bank is trying as much as possible to support some sectors in this country so that people can get the better services like you did in COVID-19 to contain the spread of the virus in the country. So if you are to advise the government looking the post-COVID-19 economic recovery, what would that be?
You know, I think I started answering this question before you even asked it. Like I mentioned when I paid a courtesy call on the Minister of Finance about a week ago, I said, "Minister, going forward, people have lost jobs, they have lost livelihoods, they have suffered because of COVID-19. What is needed is to stimulate, for now, is to stimulate small and medium enterprise development. It's extremely important. We are running into problems because people have lost their jobs. So give them injection of capital for them to restart their businesses and not be too dependent on the public sector, on government. Then, of course, there are policy aspects which need to be responded to. The monetary policy, I think I mentioned the issue of the value of the South Sudanese pound, that has to be looked into.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Plus continued peace and stability, that's in the medium to long term. All right? We need to be able to ensure that there's continued robust peace and stability to ensure attraction of foreign direct investment, private sector investment into the economy, which is the engine for driving this economy. One more point I'd like to say, which I've said before in various fora, we should try to diversify away from oil. Oil is a finite resource. It doesn't last forever. It doesn't. Let's go. In addition, oil does not provide adequately inclusive growth. In other words, growth which takes into consideration the needs of the poor, the vulnerable, women, farmers, and smallholder farmers, etc. We should go into productive sectors. Use the oil proceeds for development. Use oil proceeds to drive agricultural transformation, where most South Sudanese are engaged. And by doing so, you give a greater proportion of South Sudanese more livelihoods day by day.
Hmm.
So this is my vision for South Sudan. I want to say South Sudan, which is economically diversified away from oil into agribusiness, for instance. I want to say South Sudan where there's education for the majority. I want to say South Sudan where there's water and sanitation for the majority. And of course, who says official development assistance has ever helped a country to develop, to transform itself? No. It is foreign direct investment, private sector development. That's the key.
Okay. Now, you have a lot of experience where you come from different countries around the world, and African Development Bank is a well reputable organization or institutions that deals in a lot of countries. I was reading before we came on air some of the, I don't know how do I put it, some of the achievements you have done in other countries. I was reading how the African Development Bank supported these people between Kenya and Tanzania. You have operated in Kenya, Togo, Cameroon, and all those. So what are some of the priorities you have right now, besides COVID-19 and the power you have just talked about? What other projects do you have in the pipeline for this country?
Before I go into the project pipeline, let me tell you about our vision for Africa's economic transformation. It hinges on what we call the high fives. High fives, call it five pillars.
Mm-hmm.
One, power Africa, power and light Africa. Two, integrate Africa. Okay? Industrialize Africa. Feed Africa. And improve the livelihoods of Africans. These are our five pillars that drive our strategic interventions in every country.
For the continent.
For the continent. Now to South Sudan. In line with what I just mentioned about economic diversification, and in the COVID and post-COVID pandemic context, we intend not to be too scattered in many sectors. We intend to focus on two main sectors over the next 3 years, mm-hmm. starting 2020. On the 27th of November 2020, we are going to board with an agricultural value chain operation valued at $14 million on the 27th of November.
For this country?
For South Sudan. We are going to board, and that will be a grant.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to board with a $14 million to support agricultural value chains, and that is from inputs right down to transportation, to value addition, to processing, and markets, market infrastructure. Now, I have been to Konyo-Konyo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is a market that creates problems because of the interaction. It's too congested. It's too tight. The water and sanitation facilities are weak. So we intend to look at how to expand certain areas in South Sudan, in Juba, with another market and in another city.
In other words, you may be trying to create a new market with using this money.
All being well, that's what we plan. Mm-hmm. But we are still speaking with the government on that.
Okay. So in this case here, who will be your Which institution? The Ministry of Agriculture?
Fine. Very good question. We intend to work, as a matter of fact, we've been talking to the Ministry of Agriculture a lot and Food Security. We've been talking to FAO, and we intend to use them, as we have done in previous cases, to deliver the project.
Mm-hmm. So will that one be on here in Juba? Because when people, Juba is not, South Sudan is not Juba.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
So do you have any plan to expand to other states?
We are looking at other states' considerations, and as we design the project, we finalize the design of the project, we should be able to be able to come out and be more concrete on other states that will be covered. But of course, it's only $14 million. So you should not expect to cover the whole country.
So what will be the duration for this project?
5 years.
5 years.
Starting 2021.
Okay. With this 14 million?
Yes.
So how many, for example, how many markets do you have in plan?
We are still in the design phase. We expect, like I said, going to board on the 27th of November. Hopefully by end of October or early November, I should be able to answer that question.
Okay. Yes, you are listening to Nationwide with me, Sani Martin. And today my guest is the African Development Bank Country Manager for South Sudan, Benedict Kano, who is with me here talking about the activities of the African Development Bank in the country. In the coming weeks ahead of us, you heard from him. The government or some of the institutions, they will be injecting $14 million in major projects in Juba and some parts of the country. And also, you can send us your comments to our SMS number 092-9693-205 is our SMS number. You can send us and get your questions answered right here. Yes, like I said in my introduction, the African Development Bank has been here for a very long time, just immediately after the signing of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement in Nairobi, 2005. And from there, you have been supporting this country for a very long time now. You have an idea what went wrong, what should have been done, and what should not have been done. So, in your own analysis, where do you think we got it wrong in terms of the economic revival after a post-conflict country like South Sudan with your experience from other regions?
Let me again start by saluting the government and people of South Sudan for having come this far after decades of intermittent political instability. I think that should be the very first statement I'd like to make. The government should not be too dependent on oil. We have seen what has happened. Price of oil has dropped. We should be talking about economic diversification away from oil. I mentioned the need to build strong institutions. I mentioned the need to ensure that what government does best is done by government. What the private sector does best is done by the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot expect the government to do everything.
Yeah.
The issue of policy reforms, public finance management policy reforms, for which the government has already committed itself recently. I think the government should demonstrate results increasingly so that they can convince their partners that, yes, what we said 5 years ago, we will deliver, at least we have delivered 70-80% of it.
Yeah.
I think these are some of the points I'd like to share with you at the moment.
Okay. Now, I know this one involves a lot of politics and a lot of debates and discussion. Because people know already what happened here. Everybody who talked, let me refer you back to what happened on Tuesday at 9 at the Ministry of Finance, where you participated in this signing ceremony or the contract signing between the new Commissioner General of National Revenue Authority and the government. With the coming in of this new Commissioner General of NRA, so do you think people will now begin to see a change on how business is being conducted, the revenue is being collected? Because according to the former acting commissioner general or director general of the National Revenue Authority, when they appeared before the Assembly Business Committee last month, he mentioned that there are 19 institutions that are not remitting the non-oil revenue collection. So do you think he may have a lot in his entry? He has no time for honeymoon?
Unfortunately, he has a very big job to do. His job is not easy. And I already told him this. But let us be positive. Let us be positive. This is a new dispensation. I think I echoed the sentiments of the cabinet ministers who were present with me at the contract signing ceremony in the Ministry of Finance. I echoed the strong sentiments of Vice President James Wani Iga at Pyramid when we had a cocktail in honor of the Commissioner General.
Yeah.
He echoed some very strong words, and the words pointed towards increased commitment by the government towards non-oil revenue generation and accountability. Now, if all these big people in South Sudan have said this, I think we have to take them by their word and continue to watch and see. But I remain optimistic.
Okay. So now the question actually many people are asking right now is the African Development Bank is injecting a lot of money into this country, but no impact. Are you seeing the impact on the people, not the government?
Well, let us be careful in saying that. Impact takes time. We started operations here in 2012. It takes time to transform a child of 5 years, for instance, to a university student.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of time. Nevertheless, let me start with what we started discussing, the power.
Yeah.
This power is partly because of the $38 million we spent in putting poles and cables and transmission lines transformers in Juba.
Mm-hmm. In some parts of Juba.
Yeah. So impact is what? You have now educational institutions. You have now homes. You have hospitals, offices having access to electricity.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is...
And the noise in some areas, residential areas here from generators...
Has reduced, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So that is an impact, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, let's go to the issue of training, human capacity development. I want to tell you today, and I want to tell the people of South Sudan, that thanks to projects we have supported, a particular project I will mention, which was approved in 2013, I think.
Yeah.
2013, just after we started operations. It was one of the first projects here. South Sudanese have been able to earn master's degrees, bachelor's degrees, diplomas.
Through your programs.
And through that very program and others. And they now work in this government and the whole senior government positions. So I think that is also an impact.
Yeah.
It's a result. It's a positive one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go to the area of water and sanitation. Let's go to the area of humanitarian assistance. Last 2 years ago, the bank approved a $43 million grant, which I signed here in Juba 2 years ago. It has just been fully disbursed. Now, it helped to address humanitarian challenges. It helped to address hunger challenges. It helped to the transition from humanitarian to resilience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these are things we have to put into context as well. Water and sanitation. We have a $31 million portfolio in water and sanitation. In the next 2 to 3 years, we'll be able to put together reticulation systems to ensure that potable water can be transported easily into some parts of Juba. I think let us be patient. We are a new country. It's not easy. You're basically starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, we have some few questions coming in here from Sok Chuni Yokwai from Juba. It says, what are some of the achievements that African Development Bank have achieved over the last few years? And where do you think you faced a lot of resistance, given that there are some people in this country who does not need change?
I think he should just listen to my last few statements about achievements.
Yeah.
You should just listen to my last few statements about achievements. And as I want to emphasize that achievements don't come overnight.
Yeah.
They don't come overnight. When you consider the history of this country, the political history of this country, you know, there has been intermittent instability. So, therefore, we continue to talk. Development is not one person's responsibility.
Yeah.
It's a partnership between the government, its own partners, and the private sector. So my last statement before I answer the question, let him refer to it, and my answer is there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Deng Akot from WOW says, as an expert, what do you think the Minister of Finance, National Revenue Authorities, and other generating income in this country should do to recover the country from this economic crisis right now we are experiencing?
Again, I've answered that in the past. Let me just touch a bit.
Mm.
You see, Let us go to public finance management and accountability. If you collect $10 in taxes, if you collect $10 from oil revenue exports, what you do, you plan for $20 for that year and make sure you don't live above $20. You don't plan for 50 because you don't have it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm using a practical example here.
Yeah.
You plan for what you have. Even at home with your family, you plan based on your income.
Yeah.
Therefore, what we are doing in the with the NRA through the non-revenue mobilization and accountability project is an integral part of the public finance management cycle to which this government has committed itself. We are now trying to see, well, apart from oil, let us go elsewhere and start to collect a few more dollars and then bring to the port. And then the government can plan using that, do budget execution, budget monitoring, reporting, and then lessons learned, and start the circle again.
Yeah. Yes, the government have come up with some figures for the fiscal year budget 2020-2021 with a lot of deficit. How will African Development Bank come in to support maybe the gap in their own capacity? Is there any plan?
Well, let me say indirectly, actually directly and indirectly, we're supporting the work of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we have a portfolio at the moment of $160 million and it's benefiting South Sudanese, we're trying to help to see where government and us can work better outside the government budget, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the next 3 years, we intend to expand the portfolio by another $75 million, including the agriculture I mentioned to you, two agriculture operations and health operations. All of these are helping the government. Now, frankly, the government should continue its commitment to sound public finance management to ensure that it only spends what it gets. Now, we are not providing budget support. Maybe he was thinking, the caller was thinking about budget support.
Yeah.
We are not providing budget support to the government of South Sudan at this moment, for reasons I will not discuss right now here.
Okay. Now, all this amount you are mentioning today, you are giving to South Sudan, is it loan to be paid back over a certain period of time with some interest?
Predominantly grant. Predominantly, most of that, in fact, for the next 3 years, starting from 2020 to 2021, 2022, the $75 million will be a grant, to answer your question.
Okay.
So it's predominantly grant.
Okay.
But 70-80% of it is of what we are doing here is grant-based.
Okay. Now, because of the time factors, maybe we need to wind up because we are left with only about 3 minutes to conclude this discussion. It's very unfortunate that we cannot receive calls because of some issues with our lines here this evening. Let us conclude on a positive note. You mentioned on the issue of private sector. You gave the role of the government and also the role of the citizens, which they can do in order to ensure that the economy moves forward, given our history, where we are coming from, decades of protracted civil war that has distracted so many people, and all this, the infrastructure is not in place, the rule of law is not being followed. And on a positive note, as an expert, with somebody who have the zeal to begin a small-scale business, how would you advise him or her without any capital? Because that's one of the challenges people are facing in this country.
You see, we have a number of banks operating in this country that are actually on lending, in case you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about commercial banks.
In this country?
They are actually on lending. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
You can quote me on this. Ecobank, Equity Bank, Alpha Commercial Bank, KCB, Kush Bank, Buffalo Bank. They are on lending. They may not be on lending as much as they would wish to. Excuse me. They will not be on lending as much as they would wish to, or as much as South Sudanese would wish to.
Yeah.
But I'd like to state that they're on lending and making sure they also protect the resources they on lend.
Yeah.
Because even you, if you are appointed managing director of Ecobank, for instance, you don't want to unlend, and then the resources you unlend, you cannot be paid back.
Yeah.
I also want to add one thing, which is the interest rate. The cost of capital is also determined by the risk factor of the business line. Therefore, these interested parties should approach these banks. They should go in person to these banks and talk to them. Thank you.
Okay. So what can the people, beside what you mentioned, any other project the people would like to listen from the country manager of African Development Bank, which is coming next, that can also benefit them through different institutions? And finally,
well, for the next 3 years, like I said, we intend to focus on just two sectors. One, agriculture. This end of the year, in November, we intend to go to board with a $14 million grant project. Next year in 2021, we intend to go to board with a $50 million grant project in agriculture. In 2022, we intend to go to board with a $9.2 million health system strengthening project. These are the two focal areas of our operations for the next 3 years.
Yes, Kanu, thank you so much for coming to our studio. We really appreciate your time, and we hope to talk to you some other time to come.
You're most welcome. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.